call this meeting order Wednesday, July 14th. And I know that we are in certification with open meetings laws. Typically, April officially tells us that we are. I don't think there's anybody here who has that information handy necessarily. But I know that, so she had told me that we were in compliance with that. So just state that for the record. Okay, we'll just go ahead and jump right in. Mary is our feature presenter tonight. Looking forward to learning about the financial conversations. And so Mary, we'll take it.
Can everyone see okay? Okay, great. Hi to everyone again. So I'm Mary. I'm the health and well-being educator in Kenosha County. And for the feature program tonight, I'll be talking about encouraging financial conversations, or we shorten it to the acronym of EFC. So you'll probably hear and see me referring to that throughout. All right. So the first thing with encouraging financial conversations, you just see that kind of the crux of it is that helping professionals are ideally situated to engage clients in conversations about financial concerns because of the relationship cultivated or established during the time working together. So as we all know, and something I've definitely learned during my time with Extension, is that for people to talk about finances or really engage with financial education, information, it's not always easy or comfortable. A lot of people really think about finances as a very personal and private matter. So it can be tricky sometimes to engage with people that are really in the most need for the financial information or education. So through the Encouraging Financial Conversations, or the EFC curriculum, we work directly to train professionals that are very client-facing within the community to be able to give them the information so that they can be more comfortable having these financial conversations with clients. So the training, which I'll go through kind of the structure of it, but it has both financial information as well as process techniques to help the professionals just feel a little bit more comfortable in being able to start and maintain these conversations with clients on an ongoing basis, really is the goal, and not necessarily just when a crisis is happening. So with this, we just enter it knowing and understanding that helping professionals play a really essential role in building individual financial capability. So before I go any further, it really is me just wanting to also frame out, what do I mean when I say helping professional? So it really is a wide variety of people that work and serve in the community. So we're talking social workers, different family support, parenting workers, folks that work at food pantries, homeless shelters, Wisconsin Works and economic support case managers, educational staff, workforce development, Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. And that is not an all-encompassing list, but that is really just a snapshot of the people that we were engaging with in promoting and executing this training. So kind of going back to our understanding of helping professionals really playing that essential key role in helping individuals build more financial capability, is that we know that topics around finance, money, financial planning, all of that stuff really impacts people at all levels. So not only at the core of themselves as individuals, but also within their family structures, other personal relationships that they have within the community and the broader society. So with all of that, we know that the people within these helping professional roles are engaged with the clientele on all of these different levels, but a lot of times in really one-on-one and ongoing bases, that it is just an excellent way to be able to infuse that information into the work that they're already doing. So sometimes we realize it only goes so far if we market to, say, case managers that, you know, you should invite your clients to this budgeting seminar. We'll teach them about all different types of, you know, skills and tactics and ways to stretch dollars and, you know, depending on the audience and who we're working with, sometimes we get a good group, sometimes not so much. So it really is just capitalizing on the relationships that are already there with the clients serving professionals to be able to still get the information to the end user, even if they're a little more reluctant to come, you know, sit in a class or have a conversation with me or that type of thing. Another thing that kind of set the stage is that there are a lot of people in our state that face financial insecurity on an ongoing basis. So you see some statistics up here just regarding people being able to cover expenses, pay bills, information about emergency savings, past due, all of that type of stuff that you see on the screen. And this was statistics that were from 2019. So that wasn't even taking into account all of the hardships that people faced in the last year with the pandemic and kind of all of the financial insecurity, people leaving the workforce and all of the, you know, things that have happened to us all. So knowing that some of these statistics weren't exactly ideal, we could gather that for a lot of households, things didn't get any better in 2020. So another thing that kind of loops back to some of the hesitancy of people engaging in financial education or just, you know, not feeling as comfortable having the conversations with someone like me that might not know them as well as some of the case managers, parenting aides, other people that they're engaged with on an ongoing basis, is some of these challenges to talking about money. So we're looking at things like past experiences. So if they have had, you know, poor banking experiences, it might just be that I don't want to deal with thinking or talking about money at all. Or if they grew up in households where finances were a challenge or it wasn't something that they were taught about, it might just be tricky to jump into it as an adult and not really feel comfortable or confident or might even feel ashamed about kind of lack of knowledge or experiences. Other things like culture play a factor into it, institutional racial inequities, inherent tendencies and biases that people have around the subject matter of money, personal values, and a lot of other things that just lead to the, you know, kind of bigger challenges that we see when we think about finances in general. So then for the EFC curriculum itself, a little bit about the program development, because this is something that UW-Madison Extension has developed specifically to be able to use all over the state. So long before I was with Extension, there was a history of county and statewide trainings and then also best practices work groups for kind of what the skeleton of this program was. So it was under the name Building Financial Capability for Helping Professionals. I don't think it was necessarily structured the way that it was now, but there were elements there where people in specific counties and even across the state were engaged with a lot of the professionals already, just being able to work with them, troubleshoot some of the financial security education concerns that they were seeing with their clients. From there, it was just understood and realized that this was a unique position to be in, and there was a team through Extension proposed and accepted, which helped secure more resources to be able to really refresh and develop the program as it was. And then from there was a pretty extensive survey that was sent to the different educators, such as myself, around the state about kind of what were we seeing, what were we hearing, what were we encountering with the financial education that we were already doing. And then from there, the curriculum and evaluation itself were developed. Last year, in mid-2020, there was a train the trainer of sorts for people from Extension around the state to be able to learn the curriculum and kind of what it could potentially look like to roll it out in the community. And then since that point, it's just been piloting the program around the state, which I will talk a little bit more of what it looked like here. But first, the general learning objectives of the program. So again, it's knowing that for the purpose of EFC, our audience are all professionals that are client-facing. So recognizing how values and biases surrounding money affect financial decision-making, reviewing aspects of financial capability and six core financial competencies, which I will show in a minute, and how these relate to overall financial well-being, exploring financial approaches and resources relevant to clients' needs, and then identifying opportunities for assisting clients with common financial management topics. So it's kind of, those are the big buckets that we're looking at. And then these are the financial competencies that the six sessions that we would have more live in person are around. So setting goals, maximizing income, spending, saving, borrowing, and protecting. So all of these are just kind of the groupings of what we learned from the years of working with the helping professionals, as well as the reflections that we had as local educators about the basic things that people really need to know and be able to do as they grow and develop over the lifespan. So it's structured where there is information, skills, and resources that potentially is applicable for, you know, young adults all the way up to seniors that still would be able to gain information and new skills from a lot of the information here. Another thing that has been equally, I think, important is a lot of the reflections that we received from the professionals that were trained were saying there were things that they could apply to their own lives, share with their family and friends, and a lot of times it was that much more helpful because they were benefiting from it, as well as it would be easier for them to talk with their clients about it if they've actually utilized it, as opposed to, I was handed, you know, these papers and now I'm handing them to you. But if they've used it, if they've explored some of the resources, they could speak to that. And I think it's just better buy-in for them to, for it to be, you know, on the front of their mind to be able to share with the clients that they're working with. And then this is just a little screenshot of kind of what one of the sessions looked like. So we rolled it out locally at the beginning of 2021. So it was still, you know, a virtual format that we were doing. So when I say we, I want to get more into the Tri-County effort that we did in March of this year. So there was a virtual series targeted at helping professionals living and working in Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth counties. So in our little corner of the state, it made sense, since we were doing it virtually, then location wasn't, you know, we weren't looking for like a centralized location that everyone could get to. A lot of the agencies and nonprofits in the area definitely share staff or have different offices that are in these different counties. Kenosha and Racine a lot, but some even with regional approaches where Walworth is included. And that was another opportunity too for, even if they were strictly working in Kenosha versus the others, but for other resource sharing and just information about, you know, what the other professionals are seeing and doing in their areas that could definitely lend to or be applicable when they're working with clients in the other areas, or knowing too that in this region sometimes people can, you know, move within and have kind of more of the transient between those county lines. So it ended up working out well in that respect. And then also the three of us educators from each of the counties were able to be present to discuss local resources and information from our respective areas, but then also some of just the technical aspects of doing Zoom programming, of managing the chat, assisting with tech, other questions, especially presenting on Zoom. Something that we've learned is that to keep people's attention, it can be helpful if you have multiple presenters just for that change of voice and tone and pace and delivery, and that way it didn't lose as many people paying attention wise as if it were just one person on a Zoom, you know, speaking for that whole amount of time. And then We had 45 people that registered total, and we averaged 30 participants at each session, which was great because it was 6 sessions long, so we kept good numbers throughout all of the sessions. 21 of the registrants indicated that they were from living or working in Kenosha County, which was good. So it's there is that need there and that want to be able to receive the information. Another thing, knowing that people that work in this sector oftentimes have schedules that vary a lot from day to day and emergencies that come up. So it was helpful because we were able to still share the materials and information and have recordings for people to be able to kind of catch up. So I think that also helped to not completely lose people if they were not able to make, say, the second session. They were still able to get all that information, and then they knew that they could drop back into it as the schedule and just timing of their work life allowed. So then the structure of the series, as you see from the wheel, each heading was a session. But they all contained a live Zoom presentation where, you know, we collaborated to be able to present the information to the audience, as well as a packet of handouts for practice and use for themselves and the clientele. So this had worksheets that, you know, they could reproduce and make copies and distribute and utilize, as well as instructions and information about how to use these, some background information about some of the resources, and then we always had a pretty good sized follow-up message after all of the sessions with compiled online resources related to the topic or anything that kind of came during the chat that we wanted to capture for people to be able to have for their own record. Just a good way to kind of clean things up between each of the 6 sessions. And then the series evaluation was already an embedded part of it, just to kind of measure what people were getting out of it and see what it looked like. So this is just on the right side of the screen, just a sample of some of the questions that were part of the evaluation. So we did have a total of 22 people complete the pre and post survey, so it wasn't all, you know, 30-ish that came to the different sessions, but a good majority. And respondents did indicate that all of the topics covered were either very useful or somewhat useful. So we thought that that was helpful, that we were, for the most part, hitting the mark of what people wanted to be able to learn more about. And then also the highest percentage of respondents saying very useful was for our topic around credit reports and scores, and then also protecting your money. And then 90% of people found the provided resources to be very helpful. So the most common barrier identified from the evaluation of using information from the workshop with clients is that some of the professionals, there were 8, that still reflected some concern about what the client's response would be. So getting information like that and some of the feedback is helping move beyond that pilot phase of what other information do we need to infuse in there to help people feel more comfortable, you know, adding, subtracting, figuring out what it's going to look like. So even, you know, series that continue to roll out will have some of the tweaks in there as we've been getting feedback from around the state about what has been working well. Okay, and then moving forward, so seeing as we really felt that the first pilot of utilizing encouraging financial conversations locally was a good success, right now people from the state evaluation team are sending out and soliciting feedback for follow-up surveys, largely just to see how or if or what people have used with clients or for themselves, or, you know, how have they disseminated the information further since March. So we'll have the results for that coming up. And then from there too, something that as a tri-county we're doing together is our summer consumer protection series. So one in June, one in July, and one in August, we have been able to partner with the Consumer Protection Bureau from DATCAP to be able to bring some more focused materials around consumer protection. So our first one in June, we had a good turnout. There were about 40 people that attended, and then we have one next week about identity theft, and then one in August that is about scams and frauds. So this is another way that professionals and really anyone from the community for the summer series can come to learn more about resources if they do need to get engaged with the Consumer Protection Bureau, what that looks like, and then just general information about the topics too. Statewide, there are EFC booster sessions being developed that will be offered to people that have participated in the program from all across the state. So these will start rolling out as 2021 continues. And then, like I said before, improvements to the curriculum are in the works. Just now that there have been several series that have happened from the feedback from us as educators, they're able to take that and, you know, operationalize it pretty quickly, which is nice. And then the next thing locally is, again, Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth. We're teaming up to do the series again in fall. So we haven't officially started, I mean, the dates are all set. We haven't started pushing it out yet, but we will be doing that October 26th through November 18th. Again, marketed specifically toward the helping professionals that live or work in our Tri-County area. So that is all I have for today. If anyone has questions or would like me to scroll back through anything that I went by too quickly, but I'll send out these slides to the committee afterwards too.
And if it's easier, Mary, to just send it to April and have her forward it to the committee and the youth and governance participants, whatever is best for you.
Sure. Yeah. Great. Any questions?
I have a question, Mary. First of all, I just wanted to commend you on your rates of survey. That's actually pretty high for, you know, giving a survey to participants. So, and then I'm curious if you now offer or if you intend to offer continuing education credits for the professionals who are engaging in this, because many of our county workers need to stay current on their certifications in order to be in their jobs.
Right. Yeah, so we do have a certificate through extension that we can give that says, you know, what it was. We can always enclose the agenda with the basic number of seat hours, but we didn't specifically go through the, like, social work licensing board.
Gotcha.
That gets pretty pricey.
Right.
But, I mean, I do have a state licensure, so I know that process, and a lot of it is kind of open into interpretation. So if you can prove that you had the seat time, that the, like, learning objectives and the information was applicable for your work, and then also have, you know, general information about the people teaching it, it is acceptable.
Right.
So that is an option.
Yep. That's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Where do all your clients come from that go to these financial things, and how do they become aware of your program?
So for this one specifically, we are able to just get it out to a lot of the local social service agencies for them to be able to have, you know, their staff sign up and attend. So that is fairly easy with a couple of the local networks, like Emergency Services Network, and then there's a nonprofit network that has, like, listservs. So that worked really well to get the information out, as well as, you know, I even asked, I forget her role, but she oversees a lot of the functions at the job center building, to send it out to just the building, because most all of the staff there are in client-facing roles, and, you know, she's been really helpful with that. And then, too, when we're messaging it out, we encourage people to just keep forwarding it and sending it to other people that it would be, you know, applicable for. So it worked pretty well. So based on that, we'll probably send out the fall notices to past participants and ask them to share it, and, just knowing that some of these agencies have pretty high turnover too, that we feel like there's probably a good amount of people that weren't able to make it, are new to the arena, or, you know, just even want to have a refresher.
Hmm? Marie, you may have mentioned this and I missed it, but how many weeks was this training, or how many seat hours?
That I don't think I mentioned it. So the way that we did it is there was kind of pre-work that we asked people to do, and one was like a pre-recorded 45-minute video that kind of was like entry information. And then there were the six live sessions that were an hour each. So the way that we did that was we did Tuesday, Thursday at the same time for 3 weeks in a row.
Questions or feedback? Maybe from governance? Thank you, Mary.
Thanks
for your work helping keep our community educated and informed. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if that concludes your presentation,
yep,
then we'll move on to agenda item number 3. Jen, anything from you from governance?
Excuse my more casual appearance. I was attending one of our 4-H camps today, and it was really wonderful to see all the kids like learning and working together. And anyway, that's beside the point. But we had our youth and governance bus tour, annual bus tour, on June 30th, and I thought, I mean, they'll give feedback too. I thought it went really well. Everyone gave really positive feedback, both the department heads and staff that gave the presentations, as well as the youth that were on the tour. It was obviously a hectic day getting on the bus and going from county building to county building and learning, getting kind of a snapshot of every single department. So there were definitely some times we were like rushing to get on schedule, but I think that's to be expected, and aside from that, everything went really great. I think multiple presenters said that it was like the most amount of questions that they'd ever gotten from me, which is part of the reason we kept behind schedule, because we just had such incredible conversations, and it was very clear that all of the youth on the tour were learning a lot and getting great ideas about you know, how the county works, as well as like how things they might see things be improved or changed, and how all these departments interact with the committees that they sit on. So it's a really incredible first experience for me as a new educator, and really getting to know all the different county staff myself as well. The other thing that that I have been talking about with the youth is piloting a annual project. So something that other counties do, like in Racine County, the youth and governance do a project each year together that can range from helping improve the conditions in the like family services, like waiting area to make it better for families and children, or it can be like designing a flag or a scholarship. One thing that we talked about is improving, youth's understanding of local governance and doing sort of an education campaign in all high schools about like what is county government itself, and doing more outreach. Another idea was how can the county be more in tune with like mental health services. Those are just kind of examples that the youth came up with themselves. So we have yet to kind of reconvene after the tour to see what the youth are thinking, but that's something that I've kind of given to them as an option, and we can just try it out and see if we might be able to do a project this year related to the county, and helping out the new department or doing like an outreach campaign, like I said. So I'll keep you updated on how that goes, and I think if it goes well this year, we could potentially introduce that as a new program to be part of the annual. So those are the two big updates. Of the tour and this potential project, and if either of you, no pressure, but well, please share your experience on the tour.
Well, my favorite part about the bus tour, I feel like all the presenters felt very like eager to talk to us. Like they were all very, I guess, like interactive with us and explained very well and thoroughly what they do. And I think that's a reason why we all had so many questions. It was very engaging, and it definitely left a lot of us talking and brainstorming with a bunch of new ideas for the project. So I think we will definitely want to do a project. We have like a few ideas, so it'll be hard to choose one. Like you mentioned, a few of the ideas we had, but it was a very good experience and definitely worth helping us choose a project to go with.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, we learned so much that day. There were a lot of programming things that I didn't know a lot about or I barely heard of. I hate to admit it, but there are just so many different groups and programs that are offered by Kenosha County that I didn't know about before I like started to be involved, and I know a lot of other people don't know about it. So I think that the educational campaign for county government like would be a really cool idea, and I'm excited to see what we pick if we make that to be a part of it.
Thanks, Lindsay. I appreciate your feedback. Eric, I appreciate your option. Anything else at all you think on youth and governance?
No, I think that's all. We had one thing I didn't mention is we had a meet and greet a little bit before the tour as well, which was a new addition to kind of allow the youth to get to know each other and talk about what they're thinking about for their careers and how youth and governance might help them, inform that and just sort of form like a group dynamic, especially after last year's group with COVID. Had some little opportunity. I wanted to take advantage of some more opportunities, and it looks like we'll be meeting as a group periodically throughout the year for the youth to be able to share their experiences on their committees and what they're learning in the program and what they're learning on their respective committees with each other. So I'm excited for that as well.
Great, thanks. Appreciate you bringing some fresh new ideas and best practices from other programs. Thank you. All right, well then that concludes number three. We'll move on to just our general program educator updates.
Sure.
It doesn't matter to me who goes first. I'll just, Terry,
I'll
if you want
right
to.
Jump right in. Okay, yeah. You betcha. Terry from Foodwise, and then I also have Amy Griles via email. She was originally going to Zoom in because she had a conflict in schedule, but she just sent them via email, so we didn't need all that after all, but we were ready just in case. So for Foodwise updates, super exciting stuff. We have a new curricula that we're rolling out to get more people to our farmers markets and more people.
Okay, great.
So one for everybody.
Yeah, it's a two-sheet pack. Thank you, Andrew.
Sure.
So this is a curricula called Discover Wisconsin's Farmers Markets. They're doing it across the state, and Amy's worked with both of the main markets, Kenosha Public Market and Harbor Market, to ensure that their method for taking SNAP benefits is really user-friendly and understandable. And then you've probably maybe also seen us promoting the dollar matching programs at each market. So for individuals who receive SNAP, when they go to each market, if they swipe for their food stamps for $10 because of this market match program, they get $20. So it's a doubling their dollars, and it's a win-win-win situation because all those federal funds stay local. They go to the local farmers, and the end users are getting healthy, nutrient-dense foods versus junk food at the corner store, which is sometimes their only other option. So that is the general flyer. I think that's for Kenosha Public Market. The Harbor Market is still in the works. The schedule is tentative on the back there, but Amy Naisman is our contact, and then you'll see some of our other educators rotating in for this exciting new curricula. We even have some Zoomy materials. We don't always get like some books and flyers and neat resources for the participants. So basically, folks of all ages can just meet Amy at the market and get a quick tour. She's really going to be focusing on the nutrient benefits of fresh produce at this time. That's one update, kind of big one. We're really excited because we always love when we can be in the community teaching. Speaking of which, we're also
midstream and summer programming at SOLA, at Brass, and Lincoln Park through the Kenosha Parks Alliance and some of our community partners that run the summer parks program. We're taking groups of third through fifth graders to rotate in our series of nutrition. And at that age range, we usually teach some pretty basics. We're reinforcing sanitation, hand washing, making sure kiddos understand that they have to wash their fruits and vegetables. We do start teaching about the nutrient fact label to bring awareness of added sugars, and we start doing some comparisons. And then we have a sample of a healthy snack. So that has been super exciting, kind of fun because we get to do that in outdoor settings. And what else am I missing in Kenosha County? Oh, we are collaborating with Prevention Services Network, also a Kenosha County program, as many of you know, to do our parent series of education. That'll be for 9 weeks in a row, once a week, starting on July 21st. If you want to make a referral for any lower limited resource parents, it's a really in-depth curricula. We talk about strategies to help kiddos who might be picky eaters and many things, really sort of focusing on how to save money at the grocery store on your food budget in general, get more nutrition or nutrient bang for your buck, so to speak. So those are the highlights, and then I'll jump over to Amy Griles. So, okay, I'm Amy now. Child Care Foundations course. She's in week 5 of an 8-week course with several colleagues targeting child care operators, business owners, and it's offered in close partnership with Wisconsin Early Childhood Association and Small Business Development Center. 24 participants meeting weekly for 2 hours to learn more about managing a profitable child care business. Participants are super engaged, very eager to apply new practices to sustain and grow their businesses. Let's see, she has The Path by Plywood People being offered to Kenosha artists, creative social entrepreneurs. Extension has partnered with Kenosha Creative Space to offer an intensive entrepreneurship training course in September and October. This course will pair entrepreneurs with experienced mentors for the coming year. Lots of moving parts to align to support this underserved demographic, but that's another update. Number 3, she has continuing to support pantries and meal programs. So through the Kenosha County Food Bank, we're convening program staff weekly and coordinating projects. Currently engaging Feeding America to connect Kenosha County-based pantry programs with the Kenosha County Food Bank. So really trying to maximize all the different resources that are available to Kenosha County residents. And finally, she's continuing to evaluate 2 pilot programs of relational networking. I've heard a lot of buzz about that just from my colleagues. I know, Erica, you attended, Amy Mason attended, and is getting a lot out of that. So she can publish her findings in peer-reviewed literature. Those are Amy's updates.
Committee members, any feedback or questions?
So for the SNAP program and the farmers markets, do you have a way of measuring if it's being used
there? Yes.
Okay.
I'm super glad you asked. Yeah. There has not been historically, and it's huge on our radar because as recipients of federal funds, we have to evaluate our work, right? And so there have been a lot of changes with the markets, and as many of you know, the Kenosha Public Market is a new market this year. So having the market treasurer share the data with us is critical for us to measure not only the number of families, the total dollar amounts that are used at each market, but we are also, because we're promoting the dollar match program, we're also monitoring those funds, generally speaking, to try and see when we publish a newspaper article,
oh, yeah.
when we share on social media for those who can donate, what is that boost doing? You know, when we first got this started with Harbor Market, for example, in the first week after the column I wrote and shared just with my small network of folks, there was $2,500 of donations in that market matching program, which encouraged a lot of families at $20 a pop, right? Getting in there and using those benefits. So we are measuring usage, and Laura Belsky is a treasurer at Commission Public Market, and then Amy Masonman, our Healthy Communities Coordinator, is still sort of getting in there with the Harbor Market to try and get some data shared. But if anybody has strings you can pull that says Extension needs their data, we are certainly thankful for that, because I think partners don't always understand why that's important to us. So thanks.
And one more question, and I apologize, I don't remember the name of the program. It was your third point.
For parents?
It was for, yes, and you know, learning how to make the most of their grocery dollars and stuff. Do you have any kind of flyer or something like that that you could email us?
I sure will. That's our Eating Smart, Being Active series, and I will make sure that Nicole is the one teaching that in conjunction with some of the Prevention Service Network staff. So I will forward the flyer to you all for that. Thanks for any referrals that you can offer.
Any other questions or feedback? Well, whichever educator would like to jump in next, if we have any other updates.
Sure, I can share a couple brief updates. I'll mention a couple of the things I've been able to get back to in person, just because that feels new and exciting right now. So I've been able to start a new, it's called We Cope, but it's basically a positive emotions, just teaching coping skills program, and I've been able to start that at Assisi Homes in Kenosha, which is a subsidized senior apartment complex. So this is something that's been long in the works, because we were actually going to do something of this nature last spring, then COVID happened, then we were going to do virtual, we started, but then they had to stop meeting, we were going to start. I mean, it's just been a thing. But we were able to start, and it's I just did the third week today, and we're able to do in person. They have some parameters around how many people can meet and just, you know, things like that. So we're abiding by all of the guidelines. But it's just been great, just because, you know, all of us, but especially seniors, have been, you know, very isolated in the last year. So being able to do this, helping them learn, refine, hone some of the tools that we're going through. Some of it is stuff that they're already using and just kind of putting names to it. So it's been really great to be able to get out there and meet and, you know, go through that with them. And then another thing is the Sharing Center. And I are starting to get some targeted opportunities for their clients for financial coaching. And just knowing that they are a pretty main social service hub for west of the I, that it is like an effort where I'm going out now that they're able to welcome their clients back in person into the pantry, just to meet, talk a little bit more about what it is, get some information out there, and then, you know, they're offering space and time for their folks to be able to, you know, meet with me in the future, knowing that it's a pretty well-regarded, you know, safe community space that's more in this direction of the county.
Getting back to yours, I just wanted to thank you for, you know, helping try to lean in and continue to adapt with food markets and things like that. And I think that's really an exciting option. Having served as a foster parent, we received certain benefits and things, and I know that you know, we were able to get some like farmers market things during this time of the year. And so we personally appreciated that. And to see that be available through SNAP and whatnot, I think that's a great thing. So we'd like to see that.
Sure, I'm happy to be doing that work.
All right, thank you, Mary. Appreciate those updates as well as your wonderful work.
because Mary said a CC, and I don't know if I shared this, and this was really exciting too. We did a Strong Bodies strength training series with the seniors, and this was virtually, and it was so awesome because we weren't going to be able to work with them because of COVID. But we kind of kept pressing Cassandra, their activities person, why don't you see if, you know, we could, like, start with a Zoom training. And she said, yeah, we have, you know, tablets that they can check out, but they never check them out because they don't know how to use them. I said, we're going to help you with that. Like, get them on there. And she was running around, you know, masked to different residence rooms, and we ended up getting them on doing the strength training series, had the graduation. It was about a group of 9 seniors, and it was just a wonderful time. So pictures and like an evaluation report is coming from that, but they were very excited. And I also love that, you know, Mary, you mentioned their seniors were really shut out during COVID. And this was one opportunity for them to remain connected. So super exciting.
Yeah. Staying physically active is very important.
Very much. I can give a couple updates on my other programs. So Youth as Resources is still sort of in the off season until it starts back up in September. But we also did a meet and greet with that group and allow them to get to know each other, get to know a little bit more of what to expect for the year. We've also been doing a good amount of outreach in the community to try to get more applicants for the Youth as Resources grants, as well as more reach more youth to apply to be on the board, as well as a youth in governance and 4-H and our other programs. So Terry and I had a booth at the Juneteenth Festival where we got a lot of really awesome feedback from community members who were there. I also did a booth at the Stop the Violence event that Alderwoman Shana Griffin hosted about UW Extension programming, and talked a lot about the Youth as Resources grants that youth can design their own project and apply for, and then trying to get some youth that were there and excited about reducing violence in the community to perhaps design their own project around that issue area. So I had Youth as Resources board members attend both of those booths and do outreach with other youth in the community and raise more awareness about extension, and have a lot of good feedback and people filling out interest cards that send them more information on whichever program they're interested in. So that was really a great opportunity to get our name out there even more. We did begin very, very preliminary planning for our program that will be funded by the CIFAR grant that I mentioned a couple meetings ago. So that 5-year cohort-based program for youth to explore career and education pathways and then cultural programming for Black and Latino and Latina students. So that is still preliminary. We have a few more steps to take to make that program official. But we started working with our partners in North Carolina. We have a year of planning until the next school year this will be implemented. And so in that year, I'm working on getting support and buy-in from really important community partners. So I've been helping the African American Youth Initiative with KUSD and their Summer Youth Empowerment program, just kind of helping them with their day camps here and there, getting to know more about what they do, and building relationships with organizations in Kenosha that are in Kenosha County that already do some similar work to that program. So I'm really confident that in the next year, planning with the library and other community partners, that we're really going to be able to launch an incredible, really focused, like, wraparound mentorship program for youth. So like I said, that is very kind of early, but I'm just very excited about it, and I'm excited in the coming months to be able to share some more concrete information and then documents and all that with you all.
Hi there. Are you here for the planning and development meeting?
I am, yes.
Okay, great. That will be starting at 7 o'clock, and that's actually going to be in the large hearing room, which is right around the corner that way. So you're in the right place, basically, but we'll be starting with that at about 7 o'clock. So, yeah. I think, can you get to it through this way, or do you have to go
not
up to the main
sure.
hall?
Sure, I'll go along.
Thank you, Terry.
Over.
Thank
sure.
you. Terry will help get you there. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of your booth, Erica, my daughter and I were at the Juneteenth Festival and saw you and, I think one of your youth as resources representatives, as well as Terry. And thanks for getting out in the community and helping spread the word. Okay. Obviously, our interim director is not here tonight. She serves a large...
That's me.
Oh,
I'm
so sorry.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I am very embarrassed. I for some reason I thought that you weren't going to be here, and then when I saw you, I was like, she looks familiar. And okay.
I miss you.
Please forgive me, and please give us any updates that that would be appropriate.
Yeah, thank you. Although I was an educator at one point, so like hearing all of this, it just gets me excited about that. So I guess with that, I'll say thanks for having me tonight, and I just want to share that I'm integrated in the budget process for Kenosha County, so that's due at the end of July from the department, so I'm on a fast learning curve to get that to get that submitted. And right now, it's going just fine, so not a county budget processes are something I'm very familiar with, so I'm eager to have that submitted and then work with the next AED on that process. So within the county budget cycle, as you all know, it's due at the end of July from the departments, and then it goes through the rest of the process within the county board. So eager to work through that process. With the incoming area extension director, we had some successful interviews last week Friday. We have an offer out, and so hopefully we will have an announcement coming within the next couple of weeks. So we're waiting for that to happen, and until that process comes, until we can do that, I'll be working with the staff and so forth to get everything completed. And then I'll be on board to also help onboard the next area extension director within that role for probably a few weeks at least, is what I'm planning. And with the area extension directors, we're a very connected team, so we all use each other's resources throughout the entire state. So, and I just want to share as I was, just an observation as I was listening to all the educator reports and Mary's report that as I've taken on these interim roles, so now right now I have Jefferson, Racine, Kenosha, Rock, and Walworth counties, hearing the education that's happening, if you can imagine what's happening here, happening within all parts of the state, I mean, it really, this Wisconsin idea that extension promotes and that we share with our partners, if you could imagine that happening throughout all 72 counties. Just kind of speaks to what's going on here and the amount of education going on throughout Wisconsin that we can share those ideas and help people make decisions that are improving their lives. And it's pretty amazing what's going on. So I just want to thank all of you for your reports tonight and for sharing that. It definitely gives me some perspective on what's happening. So. And I work with a lot of educators that Mary is working with, so I know them also. So it's nice to see these counties are very different, it's nice to see the educators working together because they have strengths, and it's nice to see the strengths breaking the county line sometimes and integrating in and out of what's going on. So I appreciate that too. But I guess any questions for myself as far as the process goes with a new area director or anything like that?
Okay. Right, thanks, Chrissy.
Yes, and, thank you.
thank you for coming all this way amidst all your other regions that you help oversee. Okay, well, if there's nothing else, that concludes our UW Extension portion. We'll start in just a few minutes in the large room around the corner with our land development portion.